We're thinking about how we are to fight a fight. Right, so whilst they get ready, I'm going to talk for a moment. Okay? So, firstly, let's just stop and think about what we remember. What we remember today. Well, of course we remember, don't we? We remember the tragedy of war, how terrible it was. You look, each one of those crosses was a life lost. A friend, an uncle, a brother, a son, killed. And there are just thousands and thousands and thousands of crosses like those in northern France, Belgium, parts of Europe. In fact, millions died because of war. And we remember that today. We remember that the cost of it, so many families who lost people. War is just terrible, and the resolve of people at the end of the war was, this must never, never happen again. The First World War was called the war to end all wars because they couldn't face having to do that again. And that made sense of the huge sacrifice of all these people who had been killed and wounded. We can never do this again. It was the war to end all wars. But we also remember today not just the First World War, but the Second World War. Because it wasn't the war to end all wars. And of course, today we remember, don't we, our servicemen and women who are around the world today, who are trying to help bring peace and stability. Our soldiers who are in Iraq, soldiers who are trying to bring stability and help people rebuild their lives, and we'll be praying for them later in our service. We need to remember them and thank God for them and all that they do, don't we? But what else do we remember? Peace. We thank God for the peace that we enjoy today, don't we? We thank God for the fact that we've come here today in freedom. We chose to come today and we could. We take that for granted. We wouldn't be able to do this if we lived in Syria or the Yemen or parts of Iraq today. Because, well, they live in conflict. In war. So we thank God for the peace that we have, and we commit ourselves to keeping that peace and all that it will mean. Well, remember those things, but today we long to know what is the cause of conflict. And to know that, we need to have our minds and our thoughts kind of brought a little bit deeper. We have to think a little bit harder today. So what I want to see firstly is this, the greater enemy. The greater enemy. We need to know what is the cause of war. And, well, we might think, well, is it war itself? Is that the big problem? Well, no, because what causes war? Is it evil? Evil in the world? Well, what about sin in the world, the wrong that we do, the pride, the anger that people have that leads into arguments between people, that leads to arguments amongst nations. Well, in our reading, we had these words. He says, Paul wrote, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Well, what is it that we need to remember? Well, forget the red horns and the cape, but the devil is real. The devil is real. He is at work in the world. There is a spiritual reality behind the scene. So there is, we're told, if you imagine looking beyond the things of this world into the spiritual realm, there is like another war raging. And the devil and all those who are with him, evil spirits and powers and authorities, says Paul, are working to bring about chaos in the world. Now, you might be here today thinking, well, I'm not sure I believe all of that, but I want to say, look around the world and tell me you can't see that there's something working against humanity. Paul says, let's not be naive. There is a power, and it's not against flesh and blood. By that he means flesh and blood like humans. He's not talking about an enemy that is soldiers and tanks and weapons. It's a spiritual battle. And because there is a greater enemy, the forces of evil in our world are spiritual forces and powers. We also need to remember as well, there is a greater victory. A greater victory. Now, that was this day 100 years ago in London. The king, King George V, he said that the whole country was to stop for 2 minutes. 2 minutes and be silent. And so in the cities and in the towns, trams stopped, cars in the roads stopped, shops stopped selling things, factories stopped making things, schools stopped teaching things. The whole country stopped. And there was silence for 2 minutes. And that's why we stopped today for 2 minutes at 11 o'clock. King George said, all locomotion should cease so that in perfect stillness the thoughts of everyone may be concentrated on reverent remembrance of the glorious dead. But as well as that great victory, we also remember, don't we, the victory of the Second World War that came. That's Winston Churchill, again, after the Second World War. And we remember and give thanks for the peace that we enjoy because of that, but what about the root problem, the root of war that is in each of us? Well, all those things are a part of our daily lives. Pride, anger, hostility. What do we do about those? Well, today we also remember good news. Good news that there is a greater victory. A greater victory over the greater problem, the greater enemy. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world 2,000 years ago because God knew that there had to be a greater victory over this greater evil. Otherwise, humanity would be lost without help, without hope. We need a great victory. The good news that we remember today is that God did something in our broken world. He did something about us. He gave his Son, Jesus, to deal with the problem in all of us. It's what Paul in Ephesians describes as an offering and sacrifice to God. A sacrifice for the wrong that we think and say and do. The root of all human conflict. When we accept Jesus as the one who came to rescue us from ourselves, from our own sin, by repenting and trusting in him, we're transferred from being on the losing side to the winning side. With Jesus, we know we have victory. That is good news. Wonderful news in our world. The greater victory. But in the now, it means fighting a battle. So as well as a greater enemy, a greater victory, there is also a greater battle going on. Now we've seen that this battle is not between soldiers and tanks and weapons, those things. This battle is a spiritual battle for what is right and what is good in all of us. And that's why Paul says, put on the armor of God. Our struggle, remember, is not against flesh and blood. No, it is a spiritual battle. And therefore, we're to put on the full armor of God. Now, in Paul's day, when he was writing this letter, soldiers wore armor like that. Now, they don't wear like that today, do they? No. So it's helpful to remember that what Paul was talking about when he described this armor. And to help us do that, I've got some wonderful helpers from our kids' club on Tuesdays at C2C. They've been this term kind of doing this armor of God, and they've brought what they've made for us. So we're going to kind of help see some of this armor. Now, are you ready? Yeah. They're getting equipped. So, Dominic, do you want to come stand up on the step and come and just stand here? That's brilliant. Now, Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, yeah. If you're at the back and you can't see, I just want to be able to apologise, because the seats at the front were reserved for smaller ones who would struggle to see if you're at the back. So you just have to bear with it. Maybe at the end, if you've got no idea what's been going at the front, you might want to come and have a look at the end. But here, we've got the armour of God for us. Now, the armour of God starts with the belt. That's a great belt there, isn't it? You know, here's a test. So, can you remember what the belt was? Paul said it was the belt of something. It wasn't like a belt that we wear. Can you remember? Ooh, is that a bit hard? Can you remember?
The belt of truth.
Yes! Belt of truth. Well done. Well done. So you're wearing the belt of truth. Well, what does that mean? Well, hang on. I've got a soldier here. There he is, wearing the belt. Okay. He's got his pants on, because that would be a bit embarrassing, wouldn't it? It's kind of like, if he's just wearing a belt. Look, there's the belt of truth that he wears. Now, what does Paul mean, put on the belt of truth? The belt of truth. Because he's not just talking about us wearing clothes like that. Well, what does it mean to have truth wrapped round us? Truth wrapped around us. It means simply this, that we believe the truth about God and what he has said about our world and about how we can follow and trust Jesus. That is the truth. That is how the world is, according to God. So we listen to what God says, and we believe it. That's what it means to have the belt of truth around you. You believe the truth about God and the world. So we put the belt on. What comes next? Can you remember? What was it? Was it a... Can you remember? Yeah. Should we put it on? Here we go. We've got... There we go. Are you ready? Oh. Your belt's fallen off. This is a breastplate. Let me put a soldier on the screen. Okay. The belt of truth. Here we go. The breastplate. No. Without looking at the screen. Can you remember? No. Without looking at the screen. Can you remember what the breastplate was? The breastplate of righteousness. Now, righteousness is a long word, isn't it? But what does that mean? We don't normally talk about righteousness. Well, the breastplate was a bit of armour that went across their front, the soldier's front. It would protect their heart from attack. It was a really important piece of armour. And the breastplate of righteousness means we've got to guard our hearts. Okay, we've got to guard our hearts to know that we are righteous. That is that God will treat us as right before him. Not because of ourselves, but because of what Jesus has done. We're going to come to that in a moment. To know, we've got to guard our hearts to know that we are right before God. That's brilliant. Look, you see on the front here, it's got a cross. Because remember, it's the victory of God on the cross that means that we can be right with God. So we guard our hearts to know that Jesus has died for my sin, and I can be friends with God, I can be right with God because of what he's done. What's next? Can you remember? I'm not going to put it up on the screen yet. Can you remember what it was? Oh, yes. Oh, they're already on.
They're fragile.
Yeah, they're fragile. They look good. So, you've got some shoes there. Are they for dancing in? No, not dancing? No, yeah. The shoes, what are they for? What do you wear shoes for? For walking and so you take your feet. Okay? So we've got the shoes. Now, these shoes were called, this is a longer one, okay, the readiness of the gospel. That's what Paul says. The readiness of the gospel. That is that for a Christian, not just that we believe the good news that Jesus has died so that I can be friends with God, but I'm ready to be able to share that with others. So we've got the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the sandals of readiness for the goodness of the gospel. Now, can you remember what's next? What's next for the armour of God? Got shoes. Ooh. Can we remember? That's right. It's the shield of faith. There you go, hold up. So we use a shield to guard ourselves. Let's put the shield up. The shield of faith. And particularly the shield of faith here is to guard ourselves against the devil's attacks, the flaming arrows of the devil. So when temptation comes, we have faith. We have faith. We trust that we're on the winning side. We have faith. We trust that actually sin's no good for us, and that the devil, when he tells us that, oh, it will be all right, it will be all right, you go on, you'll be okay, it doesn't matter. We don't believe that. We trust what God says is true. That is faith. So we hold up our shield, don't we? To keep reminding ourselves, the shield of faith. We trust in Jesus, not in the devil's lies. It's great. We're going. Let's keep going. We have next. Yeah. You ready? Look at this. I can't believe you made all these things. Amazing. Look at that. Can you see? Sure. That is just amazing. Okay, the helmet of, can you remember, the helmet of salvation. There we go, the helmet of salvation. And of course that protects our head, that we remember and we keep knowing that God has rescued us by dying for us. And because he's rescued us, he's saved us, then we're a people who belong to him. Now we have to keep that in our heads. We're a saved people. If we're a Christian, if we trust Jesus, and if we're living for him, then we have this great work of God for us. He's made us his own. He's bought us by Jesus' blood on the cross. We protect our heads. And finally, there's one more thing. Can you remember what it is? Look at that. Brilliant. Hold it up high so people can see. Yeah, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. There's the last one. The sword of the Spirit. Yeah, the sword of the Spirit there is the idea of the Word of God. Now, the sword, out of all these things, it's the only one that is for attacking. Do you see that? It's the only one for attacking. And as Christians, we're to have confidence in what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, in our belt of truth, our breastplate of righteousness, I think I'm remembering them all, the feet of the readiness of the gospel, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. We remember and we believe all these things as true and good for us as Christians, but we also believe that the Word of God will change people's lives forever, change not just people, but families, change communities, change nations, and will even change the world. That's what we believe as Christians. And Paul says, it's the Word of God which we fight with, not with weapons. Never with weapons, but with the truth. With words to persuade people of the truth. That's how we fight. And Paul says that we're to stand firm then, with confidence in God. So can you stand firm, Dominic? Can you do that? You stand firm. Yes. Yeah. You're threatening. I'm a bit scared. I'm going to move out of the way. No. That is brilliant. Well, that's the armor of God that Paul describes. And it means believing the truth of God and living out the truth of God in our lives. And we're to keep reminding ourselves of this wonderful truth today on this Remembrance Sunday. If we believe the good news of God's rescue for us in Jesus, in our heart and in our mind, if we know that we're rescued by Jesus, our sin is forgiven, that we're rescued and we're on the winning side, and we have confidence to stand in this world, resist temptation, to not give in to sin, pride, envy, and to hold out this word of life, the world will be changed. You guys have absolutely been brilliant, stars. C2C, this term, they've had great fun learning about the armour of God and making these wonderful things. Dominic, you've been a particular star today at helping me. You've been brilliant. Are you cutting your head off? Don't forget, it's not a real sword. Great, do you want to go and sit back down? That's been brilliant. Thank you so much. Well, finally, Paul says, pray. Pray on all occasions. Pray for the world that we live in. Why? Because we believe that God and God alone can change this world. We have this great victory in Jesus, so we need to pray. It is so striking, isn't it, when we see this armour of God. Did you know that in the armour that he describes, he doesn't describe the soldier's back. So here's the final challenge for us today. Will we stand firm, as Paul tells us to do, or will we run away? We've all heard today of this wonderful good news of God in Jesus for us. It's so easy that we just go away and forget about it and think it doesn't really matter. It's not important. And Paul says that's like running away. When we run away, we do not have armor to help us in this spiritual battle. There is no security for us. We turn and we're exposed to the powers and the forces of evil in this dark world. And so as I end, I'm going to say a prayer that we wouldn't forget about this. We wouldn't leave here thinking that we can just go out into the world and be better people ourselves, that God has done something for us forever. So as Paul says, pray. Let me end with a prayer, and then we're going to move into our time of prayer. So let me pray for us. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have had a great victory over the greater enemy. Thank you that at the cross you destroyed sin. Your resurrection overcame death, that we might be able to stand not as helpless, but as victors in this. And so we pray, Father, that we would believe and have confidence in Jesus, who gave himself up for us, that living in him and for him, we would stand firm in the faith and be a people who will live for him all our lives. And we pray this for Jesus' name. Amen.